So with that, we're going to move into our last case study presentation from Robert Graff. Robert Graff manages the Office of Energy and Climate Change Initiatives for the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, which is the regional planning forum for the greater Philadelphia region, and it focuses on transportation, land use, environment, and economic issues. Mr. Graff manages initiatives to reduce energy use and greenhouse gas emissions and works to prepare the region for the long-term impacts of a changing climate. This work includes developing tools and guidance for identifying, prioritizing, and implementing cost-effective strategies to reduce energy demand and curb greenhouse gas emissions in the region, both in buildings and the transportation sector. Prior to joining the commission in 2007, Mr. Graff served as a senior project manager at the Economy League of Greater Philadelphia, and he's also worked as an associate scientist in the Business and Sustainability Group at the TELUS Institute in Boston, where he helped create the Global Reporting Initiative, which is now the global standard for corporate sustainability reporting. He has both a Master of Public Affairs degree and a Bachelor of Arts in Engineering Sciences. So with that, I'm going to turn things over to Rob. Thank you. Rob, you might be on mute.
Good morning or afternoon, depending on where you are. It's a pleasure to talk with you about how DVRPC has engaged municipal officials in one of our projects. Now, this is very much an on-the-ground project and not as sort of, although it's a climate change-related project, it's not dealing as directly with sort of some of the communication issues that we've talked about, but it is sort of an on-the-ground implementation project I think is very, very valuable. Nothing I'll talk about is particularly innovative. If I have to boil it down, you have to design engagement in from the beginning, thinking about what project experience will be like for a participant. Attention to detail matters. And my slides are not advancing. Ah, there we go. DVRPC is the regional planning organization for Greater Philadelphia. We cover 9 counties, 4 in New Jersey and 5 in Pennsylvania, including the city county of Philadelphia. Our region has over 350 municipalities and is home to about 5.5 million people. The project I'm going to talk about serves the 5 counties in Pennsylvania. DVRPC was fortunate enough to receive a U.S. EPA Climate Showcase Communities grant to support our circuit rider for energy efficiency in municipal operations. The program is run by me and by my colleague, Liz Compitello, with the assistance of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, our counties, and an energy consultant that's under contract with DVRPC. DVRPC essentially serves as a shared energy manager through this project for a group of small municipalities in southeastern Pennsylvania. Like many municipalities, they do not have a lot of money, are short-staffed, and are facing lots of demands on their time and money. Our goal through this project is to provide analysis and guidance to help municipalities identify the most cost-effective ways to save energy and reduce associated greenhouse gas emissions. While the project's intention is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, we generally do not emphasize that aspect, focusing instead on what they are interested in, generally saving money through energy, improving performance, and meeting environmental goals. Our municipalities are inundated with salespeople that often provide incomplete or inaccurate information on the cost effectiveness or even the advisability of whatever measures they are selling, be it LED traffic signals, new windows, new lighting, more insulation, new streetlights, new HVAC controls, and so forth. They generally know that they have an opportunity to save money through energy efficiency and conservation, but they lack unbiased analysis and advice to help them provide the best way to do so. The circuit rider provides this through a series of publications, workshops, and a direct technical assistance program. Most of what I will be focusing on is through the direct technical assistance is related to the direct technical assistance program, although some applies to other program elements. And I think I've lost some control of my screen due to the fact I'm on here, so I'll have to just remember some things here. Through the direct technical assistance portion of the circuit rider, DVRPC selected 10 municipalities in the region through an application process to receive one-on-one technical assistance, including utility bill analysis, an in-depth energy assessment of their building, and an assessment report, as well as assistance with implementing their energy conservation measures. At the outset of the project, we were trying to figure out how to best engage municipalities in our direct technical assistance. We realized that providing free technical assistance does not necessarily guarantee engagement. From experience, we know that one of the counties in our region had provided in-depth energy audits at no cost for every municipality in their county funded through the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant Program. The municipality simply had to accept the auditor's visit, and then they got a report. And as a result, close to 70 municipal building audits were conducted. But as far as we are able to tell, this is several years ago, all of them sat on a shelf with no action taken. This is not what we wanted at all. In part due to what we learned at the Climate Showcase Community's training session from EPA in Madison, Wisconsin in 2012, we decided to require that municipalities apply for this assistance. What you see is the top page, top half of the one-page application for this program. Each applicant had to provide a point of contact, provide basic information on their energy use, and looking at the bottom of the form, articulate their energy concerns and provide recent monthly utility bills. The instructions for the application clearly explain what we expected of the program participants. This application has achieved several goals for us. First, it signaled that this program was a two-way street. We would not simply provide a municipality with an audit document that could sit on a shelf. It also indicated that we were interested in what they needed and wanted. Finally, by requiring a single point of contact, completion of an application, and submission of utility bills, it provided us with the means to assess the ability of each applicant municipality to be a responsive partner. We received 25 applications and selected 10 municipalities. I believe that this step was the single most critical step in ensuring engagement in our program. Like a lot of organizations, DVRPC has often provided assistance without thinking about how to assure that we are providing it in a way that is both needed and understood in advance. So this is sort of a step away from the, we've got a great idea, so people will come running to us. Another key element of successful engagement is to be sure you understand and really understand how valuable your partners are, in this case, the municipalities. Our program was successful and very satisfying to us because our municipalities are not simply recipients of our assistance, but are truly partners in working together with us to address real concerns that they have. A couple of specifics that we try to keep in mind. Be sure to hold meetings at a time and place that's convenient to them. This often means that we hold meetings at times and places that are not always convenient for us. However, this maximizes the time our very busy partners are able to spend with us and allows easy access to both records and individuals who will not be able to travel to a central location for a meeting. We also use this principle for the several multiple municipality meetings and workshops that we've held as part of the programs. These are often held really early in the morning and are never held at our office, which is centrally located but does not have good parking or easy road access. We time the delivery of the energy assessment reports to align with the municipal budgeting process, which usually takes place between September and December each year. This allowed municipalities to incorporate the energy conservation measures that we recommended into their budgets for the next year. From a communication standpoint, this meant that DVRPC had to be flexible with how the reports were delivered. This is very much an iterative process as we learned which energy conservation measures were feasible for the municipal budgets and what pieces of information they need from us to present before their boards or councils to approve the inclusion of our ECMs into their budgets. For instance, they might need the estimated cost of a study or estimated cost of a lighting upgrade or of a boiler upgrade. It's essential to listen. When we visited municipalities to discuss their energy needs, we first presented them with an overview and understanding of what we had learned from analyzing their energy bills. Then we asked them what they thought about their energy use. What offices are uncomfortable? What systems are you having problems with? What are the concerns of your residents and township council? How do you already plan and budget for energy? This provided us with a roadmap to their concerns and an understanding of where they were most likely to take action. Remember that they know more, that they know their buildings, facilities, budget, politics, and priorities much better than you ever will. We followed up after our preliminary meeting with them by providing them in writing with our understanding of their priorities for energy work. We then spoke with them to correct and clarify this. Only after this did we perform an energy assessment and create our report for energy conservation measures. We presented this report as a draft, delivering it in person with to their staff and listening carefully for feedback on our recommendations. For instance, in one case, we learned what we thought was a natural gas supply pipe was in fact the stub end of a defunct system. In another case, our recommendation for internal storm windows initiated a long conversation that indicated they knew a great deal about the challenges of using these and suggested a revision of our recommendation. We continually communicate to our municipalities that their feedback and communication to us is crucial to the success of this program. DVR communicates that we will be learning as much, if not more, from them through this process as they might gain, we learn as much from them as they might gain from the technical assistance. Though they receive the assistance for us for free, we ask in return that they help us better understand how they make decisions internally to implement energy conservation projects and how they budget for energy measures. We emphasize this in all of our meetings with them so that they really understand how important they are to our work. It's important to spend time on the materials you provide to the municipalities. We designed the logo scene here to help brand our products and make them have a professional appearance. We also proofread and edit the memos and documents that we provide municipalities with the same level of rigor and to the same high standards that we apply to all of DVRPC's published documents. While there's a temptation sometimes to save time by providing them with good enough documents so we can deliver them quickly, the time spent on making the documents as professional as possible indicates to our partners how much we value their time and advice. An adjunct to this is to regularly remind ourselves that our role is to aid in helping them do what they want to do, to connect them to resources and to smooth their work, taking on tasks that they either do not have time to do or do not have the expertise to carry out. In some cases, this can be mundane work, such as entering utility bill data into Energy Star Portfolio Manager. Another step we took based on what we learned from the Climate Showcase Communities Training Meeting in Madison is to reward and acknowledge the participation of our partner municipalities. We had our executive director write a letter to the highest official in each municipality, usually the township manager, with a copy sent to the board representative from their county, usually a county commissioner. Our executive director publicly thanked the municipalities for their participation at our monthly board meeting. We delivered a press release to the local newspapers that cover the municipalities, and we had our executive director welcome and thank the selected municipalities at the project's kickoff meeting. At the end of the program, we plan to provide them with a certificate of completion suitable for framing, paying attention to acknowledgement, lest their higher-ups and the community know how important this program is. It also cements the obligation from their end, helps ensure follow-through, and build support for the program as a whole. A few other tips from the small to the great. Be sure to provide simple coffee and donuts or something else tasty. It doesn't cost much, and people always like to have something to eat. Again, make sure the meeting time is on their schedule, not yours. We always use polling or emails to set meeting schedules. There are some simple steps you can take to make meeting participants feel both comfortable and valued. We always provide table tents for every meeting participant. Not only does this help everyone remember the names and roles of everyone around the table so that the meeting goes as well as possible, it also signals to them that everyone around the table are equal participants and partners. As I mentioned, in addition to one-on-one meetings with municipalities, we've held several workshops. Where possible, we try to make use of other meetings already taking place where we expect our municipalities will be. These local groups are often looking for relevant content for their meetings and are a great place to establish connections with municipalities. We've been very careful to try to talk the language of municipalities where possible. Here's the first internal draft of the introduction to the application to our Direct Technical Assistance Program. Note that it talks about our grant, the EPA, and is filled with language that is drawn from our funding application. This talks about what we care about, not what municipalities care about. Here's the final introductory text for that application. We restructured it to directly address municipalities. I think you'll agree it's a lot more compelling. It's obvious, but be sure to write your text with your reader in mind. Another principle that we brought back from the Climate Showcase Communities Workshop in Madison was to facilitate exchange between municipalities and to foster a bit of competition. We'll be holding a meeting of all of our direct technical assistance municipalities at the end of January, where they will each have to present what they've done and what they have learned from the program. We think and expect that this preparing for this peer exchange will further engage the municipalities. It's important to be helpful, even if it's slightly outside of the project. We had one municipality that was interested in getting connected with someone who could help them scope out a solar photovoltaic array for their building, although this was not an energy efficiency or conservation project and probably didn't have the same level of economic payback as other projects. We provided them with some basic evaluation of solar potential and cost. They were very appreciative, and this helped further deepen our engagement with that municipality. So here are a few key points I want to leave you with today. This is about how we've tried to engage municipalities through this program. First, it's important to select your partners carefully to be inclined from the start to be engaged. We did this through our application process. Treat your partners as partners. Value their knowledge and let them know that you value what they know. You are a facilitator and educator. The real expertise lies with the municipality. We've also used public engagement, public acknowledgement through communications with the public and top managers to deepen engagement. We've tried to focus on what our partners want and need and to schedule meetings to be convenient and comfortable for them. Make your communications clear and directed to the interests of your municipalities, not to your interests. We've also facilitated exchange among our partners and tried to be as flexible and helpful as possible. As I said at the outset, the single most important thing is to think about what it is that the municipality needs and wants and build everything around that. If you provide value, your municipalities or project partners will be engaged. Thank you for your time. Here's my contact information and our website where you can find more information about this and other projects. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. And I just want to mention for folks that Rob mentioned a few times that they received a Climate Showcase Communities grant from EPA as part of the support for this work. And so if you're interested in hearing more about what they've done under the grant, epa.gov/climateshowcase is the homepage for those grant projects, and you can get more information about the DVRPC work under there. And thanks, Rob, for a great presentation that really highlights sort of tangible ways to use the different strategies we've been talking about through the earlier presentations and how to really focus on a specific audience, being that of municipal officials. And so I know we're running low on time, so I want to jump to our very last poll question before we start panel discussion. And we'd appreciate it if folks could take a minute to tell us what factors pose the greatest challenge related to increasing support and engaging participation in your program. We've heard a lot about how to tackle disengagement or different ways of communicating information to try and address different perspectives and needs. But in terms of actually implementing these types of programs, what things really are posing barriers for you? So if you could just go ahead and take a second to choose all of the options that apply, we would appreciate it. All right, just to keep things moving, I think we should pull up our results. And so I think, as most people would probably agree, or as we may have expected, that staff capacity, funding, and disinterest, particularly on the part of the community, are really some of the top barriers folks are dealing with. And hopefully a lot of the strategies that we've covered today and that we'll continue to talk about in the next two calls will be helpful in tackling some of those challenges. If anyone has any questions for Rob or any of our other speakers, please do enter those into GoToWebinar, and we will get to as many as we can at the end of the webcast, and then also respond to, in writing, to those that we're not able to discuss today.